Corporate Body Magazine. Stay informed of the latest technologies, strategies, and organizations behind our food supply, our minds, body, and overall health. Bringing you unexposed global views, advanced products and services, and informative interviews. Travel to unheard of places. NCB peels away fear by exploring the science of consciousness. We are about freedom. Subscribe to New Corporate Body Magazine. Explore your reality and expand your mind. Advertise your products and services with us. NCB is a printed publication and also available online. Check us out at www.newcorporatebody.com or call 949-249-3825. That's www.newcorporatebody.com, 949-249-3825. New Corporate Body Magazine and Sovereign Mind are a division of Timeline Publishing, Incorporated.
Three, two, one, your mic is open.
Welcome to Sovereign Mind radio program, and I'm your host, Sonia Barrett, broadcasting from Inner Light Radio and BBS Radio on Wednesday, August 27th, 2008, Matrix Time. Join me each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time as Sovereign Mind explores the nature of the game, the game players, and the strategies in place to hold you spellbound and distracted. Informed guests will bring insight to the silent side of corporations, spiritual concepts, science, and technology, and how they're all being used to influence your choices. We will explore concepts and ideas that will stretch human imagination and potential. And as always, we want you to participate by calling in at 310-928-7733, or you may email your questions to innerlightradio@yahoo.com. With us today is Stuart Swerdlow, this is a part two. And again, for those of you who did not hear part one, please go to the website and listen to part one. Phenomenal interview. Stuart Swerdlow is the author of The Healer's Handbook, A Journey into Hyperspace, The True Reality of Sexuality, and his most recent book, 13 Cubed, Case Studies in Mind Control and Programming. We won't go into all of his bio because we always run out of time very, very quickly, it seems. Somehow the Matrix speeds up on us or something. So we're going to lead into it. And you can always go to the website, www.sovereignmindradio.com, and listen to part one and part two in the archive. Again, you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, and it is Wednesday, August 27th. And Stuart, welcome back to Sovereign Mind.
Well, thank you, Sonia. It's nice to be back.
All right. Now, you've been gone. Did you go, were these lectures that you went on, or?
No, I actually was requested by some private individuals to have some meetings across Asia. So I actually went quite around the world. I started out in New York, actually, and then went to Dubai and Bangladesh, Hong Kong, Shanghai, and Seoul.
Mm-hmm.
So it just got back.
Wow. That's a whole lot of traveling in a short while.
Well, that's what I'm used to doing. And, of course, whenever I start making my travel arrangements, all the airline people start rolling their eyes and, oh, here he goes again.
Waking up more people. It's like, God, I wish he would stop.
I wish I could stay home for a bit of time. I'd like to do that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
well, maybe the more people snap out of it. But I have a feeling that might not happen anytime soon, but anyway.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what? I think that a lot of people are going to get a very big awakening in the next few months, so perhaps they'll realize that things are not the way they thought they were or the way they were told they were.
And why is that?
Well, the first thing, of course, when I got home, first thing that was on the radio, first thing that was on TV is that Democratic National Convention in Denver, which is...
Oh, you're talking the show then. You're talking the Broadway show.
Oh, yeah, so you read my article this morning on the Internet, because it's so ridiculous to have this convention. Everyone knows what the outcome is going to be. Everyone knows what the story is. Why bother going through the expense, the time, and the media coverage when everybody knows what's going to happen? You know, it's
a show.
It's
a show. It's like a Broadway production, you know, traveling around, and that's what it is. I didn't read your article, but...
Oh, because I called it the show.
I didn't even know you'd written an article.
You're channeling me, Sonia.
I think so.
So, scary for you, I must say.
But yes, it is.
So, you know, people in other countries, when they see this, especially when I was in China, and they were, you know, looking at this, they thought, you know, why are they doing that when you know who your candidate's going to be for that party? And I had no answer, because it is just a ridiculous thing. And of course, the whole election is set up anyway, so it's just a waste of everybody's time and effort. So that's the first thing.
I think it's more obvious this time. I mean, for those people who
could never see through the charade before. I mean, I think this time more than any other time, it is so evident. You know, you've got one dead guy running, and you got the other guy that, well, we all kind of know how that is. But the contrast, I mean, between the two, it doesn't even make any sense.
Of course not.
Yeah.
And the speech that Hillary Clinton gave in support of him, well, just a few weeks ago, she was trashing him, so how can she support him? I mean, it's just ridiculous farce.
And she was trying to run him under the bus a few...
Exactly. So, I mean, how can anyone believe a word that's being said at this convention? It's all contrived, all a bunch of manipulation. It's just ridiculous.
But there's a lot of people that still do, though. I mean, there are people that have to just really stone you for saying that, you know. So it is insane. That's not really a question, but how is the election set up? But is there any particulars that you can give in the sense of the obvious that it is set up? Is there any particulars?
I don't know if I told you this last time I was on. It's my little joke about the whole thing, where I said you're better off pressing the lever on your toilet bowl than the lever on the election machine.
Right.
Yeah, because at least you know where that crap is going in your toilet bowl. And so this is like, you know, different toilets and crap. And so that's why I'm saying it's just some of these election machines aren't even hooked up to anything. They're pre-programmed to determine who's going to win. There's only one company in the U.S. that actually makes these machines, and it has the contract to put them in the voting areas.
Right,
so that's
right.
Very suspicious right there. And
oh,
I believe I don't know if I mentioned last time on the show that a couple of months ago on CNN, this voting machine company had a demonstration for the news media, and during the demonstration, the machine came up of McCain as the winner. And so everyone said, oh, is that, pre-programmed? Oh, no, it's just a demonstration, you know. So right away, I think that was a clue about what's going to happen.
But did you see that clip that there was a Fox News clip, you know, when they're advertising, you know, I guess Fox News or something like that for it to come up? There was a flash of McCain and his wife in the background, but you couldn't really see it. It was so quick. You can see it anyway. You can find it on YouTube, but it's so quick. And then when they slowed it down and zoned in, you see that's what it was. It was McCain and his wife, but they flashed it very, very quickly.
That's very interesting and very telling. But another thing is, you know, McCain is all about war and continuing this military drama that's being played out. And the Israelis have said publicly that if the U.S. does not attack Iran by the elections, that they would do so instead. So that tells me that that's the kind of mentality that they're looking for, which, of course, would be McCain.
Oh, yeah, you've got to have
that.
Go ahead.
No, I think the Obama setup is designed to make an illusion or an image to the world to say, oh, see how free and open the U.S. is that this person can even run for the president, you know. But, of course, you know, what chance of winning does he have?
And even if he does win, though, my personal feeling is that it won't really matter.
Right.
Which one? It really won't make any difference. It doesn't matter. Because
correct.
Either way, there's puppeting and programming, I mean, that's been going on, and, you know, these people are prepped. So it doesn't matter. I mean, I could clearly see him being put in that position to be puppeted. So I don't think it really matters. Yeah.
You're absolutely correct. It really doesn't matter. They all work for the same people, are all set up by the same people. It's just a matter of which puppet is going to be on the hand this time.
And I want to go into, the programming. Because speaking of that, what we were just talking about, your book, 13 Cube, definitely, I mean, it's amazing in terms of how it really breaks that down into categories. It's like you know about programming and you understand the science of it, but breaking it down the way you've done. Now, in the sense of, say, for example, let's say Obama then. Is it possible, but to program someone from years back, I mean, how far back do you think they go on some of this stuff in preparing for 20 and 30 years from now? Because I really feel like there is some sort of schedule to some degree that the deeper aspect, those who really regulate things per se on the planet, at the apex then of things, have that planning that goes on a few years down the line. And is it possible to have prepped some of these people since childhood for this kind of unfolding right now, like politically?
Oh, absolutely. And as I write about in the book and even in my DVDs on mind control and programming, that, what you just mentioned, is part of what they call end times programming, which was what we're in now, where it's designed to give the illusion that the Book of Revelation is coming into validity and being played out on the world stage. And so all of these catastrophes, amazing events are about to occur and are happening. And so, yes, the programming, in the U.S., it really began in the late 40s, early 50s extensively. Of course, globally, it's been around since time zero, since Persian times, even before that. And so, yes, there are people who have been programmed since childhood. There are people who have inherited programming that then becomes active. The problem is that sometimes this programming that's been in 30, 40, 50 years, then for some reason, because of events that have been altered, the programming can become invalid. And so therefore the person, if they're important enough, is either reprogrammed, or if the reprogramming is not viable, then very often the person is eliminated because they can't take the chance of them becoming a liability and throwing a wrench into the works, and then they have a new person that comes in with the proper programming that takes over. So, yes, there is programming that goes back 20, 30, 40 years. Sometimes it becomes invalid and needs to be changed or eliminated.
Well, it's like a computer program. So, Stuart, can you speak a little bit louder, maybe more into the your phone or headpiece?
Okay, how about that?
That's good. Very, really good.
Yeah.
Were you going to say something in reference to that?
No, you mentioned that I had a headpiece, and I don't have one of those things.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm about to have a head.
Well, that's good. Otherwise, we don't want to know what you're talking out of then.
Well, I can't even begin to describe it.
Oh, my God.
That's why we're on radio.
That's funny. Yeah, but in terms of the programming, yes, if it's like a, computer program, obviously the human body is the brain is set up like that, where the programming can become obsolete, but they must have improved on it over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. In the last 10, 15 years, most of the programming is no longer done in programming sessions as they had been in long ago. Now, everything can be done through satellite transmission, which is then amplified by cell towers, which are all across the planet everywhere you go, even in remote areas. This is also amplified by microwave towers that you see everywhere. So it's very simple. If they want to target a specific area or a general wide area, they can send the programming waves through those locations specifically to alter whatever it is they need to change. And the mind control waves copy and mimic the brain waves, the sine waves that come out of the brain, so that you actually don't know the difference and feel like it's your own thought.
Mm-hmm,
and that's
absolutely
why they, that's why people act on those thoughts, because they think they're their own.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Now, what about the compartmentalizing of the brain? Is there any way you can discuss how that works? I mean,
yeah, Yeah.
Especially for, I mean, as mentioned in with Kathy O'Brien and in your book.
That we can thank the Nazi regime for perfecting that idea. That's kind of what they did in the concentration camps as far as experimentation was concerned. They wanted to find out how fragmented a human mind can become, or what's the most pieces that can be formed through trauma and abuse, and through, of course, technology to really fragment the mind. So you can think of it almost like taking a hammer and smashing the mind. The most pieces that can be formed when they do this, it forms into a matrix cube, a format in the mind that's 13 by 13 by 13. That's why I named the book 13 Cube. And if you do the math, it comes out to 2,197 individual compartments or alters that can then be programmed each into a separate personality or fragmented personality. Now, they found out that you don't have to fill up the entire compartment with the personality totally. You can have an alter, for example, that only activates just for travel purposes. There is an alter that may only take over when the body is at sleep, etc., etc. There are many, many different functions. And then there may be alters that are called virtual alters or back alters. They never really take control of the body, but they're there in the virtual world of the matrix in the mind, waiting to be used if necessary. That is also what channeling is about since the late 60s and 70s, when these alters are programmed into an alien personality, an ascended master, an Indian, whatever they came up with for that person at that time, the satellite triggers that alter to come forward and take control of the body, temporarily at least, and give this information out, and calling itself whatever it happens to be named in the matrix of that person.
Now, I tell you, Stuart, I'm gonna go back to this little spot for a brief moment. And the reason why is because I have written for so many years about this whole channeling thing, and it's taken over. I mean, it's just really taken over. So what you're saying, Ben, is that a lot of these, you know, there are maybe three or four right now that everybody's channeling. You're saying that this is, a lot of this is initiated by the powers that be.
Oh, absolutely. I mention in my books that the New Age was created in 1965 by the global elite, or the New World Order, as a precursor to the formation of a new world religion, which is being imposed upon us very shortly. And that's what all of this channeling is about. You know, most of the channeling, you know, 90-some-odd percent of it, is all about love, light, and peace, and the new age that's coming, and all this wonderful
bliss,
thing.
Bliss, bliss.
And it's just absolutely the opposite is true.
Mm-hmm. I am so glad that you're confirming this. I mean, this is just awesome that you're confirming it, because it seemed like I was the only nutcase that was realizing what was, you know, what was really going on in terms of this whole channeling concept.
I'll be right next to you in the mental institution.
I mean, everybody's being blissed out. That's the whole thing. Bliss, bliss, bliss.
Right.
Money, money, money.
Right, and the idea of it is that if they have the people focus on this love, light, and peace stuff, then they don't pay attention to the other things that are going on behind the scenes. And by the time they realize that they've made a terrible mistake, it's too late.
It's too late. Too late. What I say is they're being rerouted into a renovated matrix. They changed the paint and the furniture, but it's still the same matrix.
Right. Did I mention to you last time about the Independence Day movie?
I think, you did. You can repeat it again, though. You did mention it, but I don't remember specifically.
That scene in the movie where all the New Age people are on the rooftop with the signs, "Welcome Space Brothers," and "Open the door and let us in," and then the UFO opens its doors and the bright light comes out and they're all happy, and then they're the first ones blown away by the weapons. And that's a big message there.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to ask a question from a listener.
Sure.
And I think this one probably came in even before the show began. Let's see, one second. I just want to see who it's from. Christian. All right.
Okay.
With the past Olympics that had happened, did you notice anything that seemed strange or something that may have implied Illuminati symbolism and or ritualism? Can you explain, this is a part two now, can you explain how the sexual orgasm relates to the original creation with God mind? Also, in the true reality of sexuality, you had stated something along the lines that someone who feels the need to self-stimulate, masturbate, themselves many times a day may have low self-worth issues that are they are dealing with. Can you explain that? Can't wait to hear the interview.
A lot of the questions there. And as you may know, I was in China during the Olympics, and I have to say that I was quite impressed with the way the Chinese handle things. I had been to China several years ago, and things are quite depressed and pretty awful there. But this time, things looked like they had been cleaned up, organized. It was a big show being put on for the Earth. And quite honestly, I would have to say that the Olympics themselves were a representation or symbol of what they expect the world to be like in the future. Orderliness, everyone in their place, you know, everything, you know, regulated robotically, basically becoming the Borg. That's what the Olympics were like to me. That's what it appeared like to me.
Mm-hmm.
And also I mentioned in, I think, Blue Blood book, that eventually the Chinese would become the main part of the global world army, because they are expendable. There's 1.3 billion of them, and they are being right now exported to Africa, South America, Central America. People don't realize there are Chinese troops in these places by the hundreds of thousands, and even along the border of Mexico and the United States, which, again, is not being publicized in the news, except the local newspapers in those areas. And so that was the main symbolism that I saw in the Olympics and in China. To the next question about the God mind and the orgasm, yes, the act of a release or orgasm is a representation or symbolic of what the God mind felt when it released into creation, or created all of existence. So every time we have sexual activity and we have orgasmic release, we are in effect recreating the God mind existence in creation. So really it is a very holy act, if you will, or very important act, not to be wasted. And when we do have that orgasmic release, we should have a thought form projection at that moment to manifest into our physical reality something that we would need or want in our lives to make it better. So that energy should not be wasted. It really is very important and symbolic.
So it's an act of creating, basically.
Correct.
What you're saying.
It's a recreation, if you will, of how God might create all of existence.
Beautiful.
Right. And then the last question there, I believe, about someone who needs to masturbate many, many times in a day. When we do this, we are diminishing the energy of creation. And so that then takes away from the power and the importance of what we're trying to create, and in fact weakens us, because our creative energy then becomes very, very low. So that is a person who is basically, you know, giving themselves up in many ways, physically
but
and energetically.
And isn't that what the system in place promotes, though, which is why, I mean, a good part of the whole sexual distortion and marketing.
Right. Absolutely, but beyond that, a lot of this pornography and everything that we see out there related to sexual activity, which is designed to stimulate people all the time. What they're really doing there is they want to create a high sexual energy in society that then can be absorbed by devices that they have, the satellite equipment,
right.
And then they use that for themselves to create
the power source. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so basically they're stealing your sexual energy and using
right.
it for themselves. That's
absolutely. Yeah, it's a power source. And I mean, I would imagine it's not just here, but outside of the planet, which we won't even go into, but it's a definite huge power
uh-huh.
source.
Uh-huh, yes. On the lower astral, by the way.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
There's so many questions. One of the questions that, of course, hit me as a black woman is that there's a part in your book where you mention about the black angels.
Yeah. Right.
Now, I don't think I'm an assassin, but...
I hope not. And if you are, I'm great, you're far away.
But I wanted you to talk about that, about these women and, you know, what process actually, what
mm-hmm.
process is undertaken
mm-hmm.
To actually capture these people.
Yeah. Now, that was quite a project, I will tell you. Because as I mentioned in my book, people who are
One second, Stuart. I want to acknowledge. Is there a caller? Caller, are you
Hello.
On the
yes.
line? Do you? Who am I speaking with?
Yes, you're speaking with Opichiku, calling to ask a question to your guest.
Okay. Let's see. Stuart, do you want to finish up on this question, or do you want to go ahead and hear what his question is?
Well, sure. While he's on the phone, I'll hear his question.
Okay, what's your question?
Okay. Yeah, hello, Stuart. I'm glad to have you on the show. I heard you do an interview with Dr. Kanya a couple of years back about the Philadelphia experiment.
Yes.
And that was a great interview. But my question today, you know, is relating to what you were talking about earlier about channeling and how they're being controlled, you know, by the powers that be. And to that effect, I wanted to ask you if you're familiar with the set material by Jane Roberts, and if you are, what you think of that
Yes,
work.
Yes. You know, very interesting question, and I get that question often. The Seth material, the original with Jane Roberts, which was from the 1960s, actually, that information was way before the New Age began. And in fact, I do not consider that to be channeling, because she was actually talking to this entity, and she was going through her Oversoul, and actually the Oversoul concept that I teach was even mentioned in those books. Now, so a lot of that information that she, Jane Roberts, before she passed away, that was very good and invalid information. Now, subsequent to her death, there were other people who claimed to get this information from the entity called Seth, but... Though that was channeled programmed information. So the government actually stepped in because they see that she was getting valid information from a valid source. So they basically eliminated her. She died at a relatively young age suddenly. And then this other group of people came in channeling Seth. That all was false information, and I don't agree with a lot of the things that were said in that subsequent information. So I don't know if I've answered your question, but that was my
yes.
opinion of it.
Yes, yes. Thank you. You've answered
the question. You're welcome.
I'll
all right, thank you.
Get back and listen to the rest of the show.
Great.
Great show, Sonia.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, Sonia, should I pick up on the Black Angel information?
Yes, but I wanted to say something in reference to what you had said about the channeling, too. I
mm-hmm.
think that people really probably need to understand that there is a difference. It's not that there aren't sources out there, as you just mentioned, but
mm-hmm.
there's a difference in terms of being able to communicate with as opposed to being taken over. as well. So there's a difference there.
Absolutely correct. And then as far as the Black Angels are concerned, that was a very difficult project because, as I mentioned in my book, light-skinned people, blonde-haired, blue eyes, red-haired, green-eyed, they have an enzyme in their genetics that allows for mind control and programming to take hold. So those people are very, very easy to program. But the powers that be had a very difficult time programming people with darker skin who did not have that enzyme, but who were able to communicate with earth energies and that kind of thing, which was very powerful. So the government tried to use every effort to program black people and darker skinned people. And what they did is they found that the people who were mixed race or had some kind of Caucasian blood in them, that was the way they could enter into that person's mind and start the programming process. So they decided through the Monarch program, which was used 85% women used in sexual activity to transmit and receive messages globally. So they used black women who had Caucasian genetics in them, and they were able to then program them to become assassins that would travel around globally and commit these acts. And the reason they did that is because it was known that darker-skinned people couldn't be programmed, so a black female traveling in the world, no one would ever suspect that she was a programmed assassin because it was unheard of. And that's why they were able to get away with a lot of what they did.
Now, how did they capture? I mean, I'm using the word capture because obviously somehow it is some sort of capture. I mean, through what process? I mean, do they select these people? I understand about the skin color, but are they from impoverished backgrounds? Are they from, what would qualify one besides the genetics, the science?
Yeah, well, very good question. And in the very beginning of this program, they would use children who were in foster care, orphaned, abandoned, which was a very large problem in the black community, especially in the South. And so they would take these children that nobody missed and nobody even sometimes knew existed, and they would bring them into these programming sessions, and through genetic manipulation, torture, and other fragmentary processes, they would then be able to program them into becoming an assassin or any other type of program that they wanted to install on these people. And you might find this a bit, well, humorous or maybe explanatory, but the biggest problem or project, I should say, that they had in the black community is for programming was Michael Jackson. He is perhaps one of the highest programmed people on the earth. If you look at him, he doesn't know what he is. He doesn't know if he's black, if he's white, if he's male, if he's female, if he's human, if he's alien. He doesn't know.
He's used, yeah.
See? And so and now he's been what we call overloaded to the point where he cannot even function anymore. And he's just, out to pasture.
Well, I was going to ask you about celebrities, too. I'm sorry, you can finish what you were saying.
No, so he became what they call a programming icon for his community, so that anyone who would see him or hear him or read about him could be triggered into whatever programming was associated with that episode.
Unbelievable. I mean, well, I don't mean unbelievable, but in one way, unbelievable. I mean, when you watch the old footage of people crying, I mean, it's like he's some sort of messiah. People fainting, people just going, I mean, absolutely emotionally nuts in coming in contact with him. That, I mean, I want to go in, I could go into that even further. I'm going to come back to a question that I have in reference to celebrities, but I have a question from a listener, Dr. J. Ask him about Obama being mulatto. Is he easier to be programmed, and is that why the press attacks Michelle Obama more than Barack?
Absolutely correct, and that's part of the point I'm making is, Barack Obama is not a black man. He's mixed race. I understand the term mulatto is no longer acceptable, but they call it mixed race. So yeah, that's why his mother was white, and he was a perfect candidate for programming because he had the genetics within him to allow it very easily into his consciousness. And yes, his wife is constantly attacked. I mean, I heard the speech that she gave at the convention, which, by the way, she didn't even write one word of it.
I didn't think so. It was performed.
Right. Yeah. So,
yeah, I saw that.
and so the whole thing is a setup. It's a setup to make it look as if America is really accepting this kind of a possible presidency.
Now, Stuart, I asked you a question earlier in terms of prepping these people from childhood. Now, since you mentioned all of that, I'm just going to go ahead and ask that question.
Sure.
But in terms of Barack Obama, I mean, the mixed race thing, and you look at his past, his background, it's a little sketchy to me. And just kind of wondering, I mean, is there a possibility that this individual was groomed from, you know, I'm going to say from day one. I won't go into all of what I really think, but groomed from way back when. And this is not new. And the fact that he did marry a woman that happened to be even a darker complexion, I don't think is a coincidence.
Right. That's correct. You know, he does have what you call a sketchy past. His stepfather, as you know, took the family to Indonesia, where Barack Obama was enrolled in a very fundamentalist Islamic school, which is well known for what it teaches there. He was excellent at memorizing and reciting Islamic prayers. Of course, much of this is downplayed by his campaign people, and that's why they promote the Christian part of it and the reverend that helped him, which he then denounced later on. There's this whole religious drama going on centered around him and the question of loyalty. And, I mean, think about it. Think about what's going on in the world right now, and think about how the U.S. is at odds with the Middle East and Central Asian nations. And then imagine a president of the United States with the name Barack Hussein Obama. You know, it doesn't add up. It just doesn't add up.
Yeah.
The whole thing is contrived. And so my feeling is that he was set up as a child very, very long ago. And his mother also has a background that's very sketchy. And his birth father also has a very sketchy background. The whole thing is like someone wrote a story.
Yeah.
That's what it looked, you know, to me.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question off the air regarding what I think. But, we've definitely gone into a lot of things which are just not discussed at all. And as Jamal is saying to me, this is like the Manchurian Candidate.
Oh, yeah.
And, and that's very real. That was no joke.
Yeah. I just want to say something here that, you know, for African-American citizens of the U.S. who are so happy and thrilled that someone like this could be a candidate, you know, even if it was legitimate, even if he were to get into office, you know, he would not be able to show a partiality to African Americans because then
absolutely.
He would look, so in effect, he might be the worst one
for
minorities to get into office because he might purposely do the opposite of what they want him to do.
Absolutely. Well, then again, I mean, we don't even know how much of those choices are going to be his anyway, because let's face it, a loaded subconscious mind, if you're structured from childhood and possibly in the womb, you know, you're going to respond accordingly. So it wouldn't really matter. It's just that it's the sugar coating of it, though. You know, it's like I'm stabbing you in your back, but, you know, I'm somehow numbing the pain because I'm laughing with you at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's correct. So,
now, as far as the Illuminati is concerned, I'm asking this. Is typically, I don't necessarily go into that. And the reason why I typically don't is because there's so much around it. There's so much fluff and so much fantasy stuff, and people tend to love to get lost in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm asking this for the reasons of everything that we've said. What do you define when we talk about the Illuminati? Now, are they then the highest of the organizations on the planet, or I mean, they're being regulated. Everything is being regulated by outside of the planet, and that, I think that's first and foremost. But the Illuminati, who do you think that these individuals really are? What is the ultimate goal? Because it's not just control.
No. Well, the Illuminati, as I define them in my books, are the 13 ruling families of the Earth that can trace their origins back to the Khazars and the Sumerians, and then before that to the Draco Empire and Lemuria. So their ultimate goal is to create a society that's basically like the Borg you would see on Star Trek, biological, yet with heavy technological implants and control systems. But remember, these Illuminati are not the 100% reptilian Draco. These are the hybrids who are the descendants of the merger between humans and Draco. And so they are trying to create a new intergalactic empire based on the Earth that is, according to their plans, will eventually replace the original Draco Empire. So they have very grand scales, no pun intended, and they want to basically change the Earth into a new capital of this tremendous empire that they have in mind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know that. That's definitely true.
Yeah.
So many questions. So many questions. So little time. I actually had also wanted to go into asking you to explain soul personality transference and embedding.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, that's a big question, too. And there are devices that can do this. And I will say that everything in creation is a vibration, it's mind, and can be measured electromagnetically. And so when we realize that a soul personality is really a collection of thought bands, which have a vibrational rate of electromagnetic resonance, this can be measured and collected, so that if you have a device that can pull the reciprocal energy in, it can connect to your soul personality and put you in a containment field, basically, making a very long story short.
Right.
And yes, they do have this kind of device, and then they can take that contained soul personality electromagnetically and then transfer it in to another body, another device, robotically, whatever it is that they want to create.
Mm.
And so, yes, this is a technology which, believe it or not, has been around for quite a bit of time.
Yes, I believe that. As I said, there's nothing new under the sun. So,
right. And it is an alien technology, but it has been used by people here on this planet.
Right. Okay. Let's see. There's a question. How can we prove the hybrid breeding?
Very simple. Look at how a fetus develops in the womb. The first few weeks, it is an androgynous reptilian creature, and then only after that, mammalian genetics open up, and then mammalian features develop. So in effect, the DNA is manifesting in the same sequence in which it was placed in the body. And first and base layer was the reptilian, which I described in the Blue Blood book.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So the proof is, just look at how a baby develops in the womb. You will see it go from an androgynous reptilian being to a mammalian creature with gender differentiation.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's right. It's quite evident. It's before our eyes, basically.
Absolutely. Right there.
Now, what percentage of human beings would you say are specifically targeted without any sense of awareness? Because, you know, it's the overall population that is under, you know, under being targeted, I mean, regulated.
Right.
But then, I mean, it seems like there's a larger percentage than we realize.
Well, okay, as you know, 100% of the Earth is programmed to one degree or another.
Right, absolutely.
At this point.
Mm-hmm.
But between 2-5% of the global population is specifically programmed.
Mm-hmm.
And they only need that amount to control the others.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take 5% of 6.6 billion people, it's still quite a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about millions and millions of people that are specifically programmed across the Earth.
Mm. Now, we probably only have maybe, I don't know, 5 minutes or something. One of the questions I also had for you is, you had mentioned in 13 Cube, someone whose DNA was a combination of every race on the planet, which made him a higher candidate for sexual magic. Would you explain why such a DNA would be of significant importance?
Okay. When they do their sexual ritual, what they're doing is using the genetic resonance of the bodies being used in the ritual to create an energy outflow because of the sexual activity. This outflow is then captured electronically, amplified, and broadcast globally. So if a person with every mix of genetics is used, when they transmit that energy globally, it's going to hit everybody. It's not going to miss any race. So sometimes they want a specific race to be targeted. So in sexual ritual, they will use people who have those specific genetics. But if they want to target the entire world, they will use a wide range mix of people so that when they broadcast the energy, it affects everyone.
Hmm. Now, in the sexual magic, now you're talking when they do this ritualistically and they have an individual there. Is that the process that you're speaking of?
Yes, and there are very many different types of the sexual rituals, which I describe in the True Reality book.
Okay.
But one of the more common forms is to use what they call a vessel, where the body then is used by an astral entity and actually occupied by this entity so that the energy of the astral and the physical mix. And then the participants in the ritual have sexual intercourse, sexual relations with this body so that they can absorb the astral energies from the entity within it.
Yeah, this is kind of like Highlander.
Where do you think they get the ideas for these films and these TV shows?
I know.
Actual events. Because you know what? These rituals are very common in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. That was my next question. Okay, we have a couple of minutes. Now, this entertainment industry is really something else.
Mm-hmm.
What was my question? Several questions, but I'll break it down to one. Just how heavily are these celebrities used? Because most of these people obviously are not just operating and being these famous stars just based on, you know, because they're just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, quite honestly, I worked in Hollywood quite a number of years, and a lot of my clients were television and movie stars and producers and directors and every part of the crew that I dealt with. I will tell you, quite honestly, most of these people have no talent whatsoever, but they have the right genetics and the right mind patterns to be used for programming to become icons for the public so that they, by their acting scenes and by the films and TV shows they're in, they basically are triggering a very large audience. I was once in the meeting with a producer who point blank told me that he's told what to produce every year and how to create it so that the message that the Illuminati want to be given to public is out there.
Yeah.
And that was point blank told to me in a meeting.
That's I love it. I'm asking you these questions because, you know, obviously these are things that I've known, I've written about, I've felt, but then to hear you say this, it was so confirming. And as far as sex is concerned, just how, I mean, how heavily is sex then a part of it? Because it's all so ritualistic.
Right. You know, I will tell you that my experience in Hollywood was that most of the people I dealt with were bisexual. They would sleep with anybody.
Yeah.
And that was part of the programming.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, absolutely.
It was quite amazing to me because there's no loyalty, there's no desire. It's just an act, a mechanical act to create a particular kind of energy. It's like a formula that they use to get a result.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for saying all of that because, yes, extremely confirming. And no, people, I'm not nuts. When you read the things on my site, I'm not nuts. But
no, you're not.
But I want to make sure, again, give out your information because we are, again, you know, I don't want to say we're running out of time, but you know how the Matrix is right now.
I do.
Give out your information in any place you're going to be.
Well, anyone can go to my site, www.expansions.com. I have Q&A up there, daily news. I have my services and products. On my, if you click on seminars and media, you will get my appearance schedule globally. The big thing coming up is October, November. We're having an amazing dual conferences, part one, part two, in October, November, which you're all invited to attend. Just join on the website. And that will be about the true history of the Earth and where we are going. It's
okay.
Information that I've never revealed before.
Great. Sounds good. Stuart, you have to come back. I'm not taking no for an answer.
Invite me and I'll come, especially if you have vodka.
We'll be sure to have that.
Sure.
Well, thanks again, Stuart, and to the listening audience, thank you so much for tuning in. And, of course, next week, be here again, Wednesday, same time, 9 a.m. Pacific time. Check out the website, www.sovereignmindradio.com. And, again, remember that the power to be a sovereign mind, a free mind, lies within you. Join me.
Everybody, go ahead and get the back of the phone. Your name is Jesus, brother.